Let's start at the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph at the two dots. So it says, Tanura Banan. So here we're talking about or referencing back to the Mishnah that said that a person who sells his Eved to a non-Jew, right, is then the Eved goes free. So here's variations of this halacha, this takonas chachamim, knas chachamim. So Tanura Banan gav obichovo, right, if the Eved was taken as because of a loan that was outstanding, o shalach chos sik rikon. Now sik rikon is a case here where, you know, Jews are free to be killed, meaning it's open season on the Jews, and he basically gives up this eved in order to protect his life, meaning he gives up the eved to protect his life. In all of these instances, lo yatzal chayrut. In all of these instances, the eved does not go free. Now the Gemara challenges it with regards to chovo. When we're talking about his chovo, is that really the case that the eved goes free? So the Gemara says, "If a chovo lo, is it really true when it comes to a loan that an eved doesn't go free?" V'riminhu, right? We have a brice that seems to suggest otherwise. Hareishan so beit hamelech gorno. If the king comes along and takes his goren, right, against his will, im bechovo. If it's because of a loan, I mean a debt that he has outstanding, then chayav laser. Then he must pay maestrot on this produce that the king took away. Imba anforot patur. If it's for anforot, it's patur. Now, what is an anforot? Rashi just comments over here that anforot is hefsed, that it's a loss. Over here on the side, in the Masorot HaShatz, he brings down it's a time when it was taken against his will by a non-Jew. That means an anforot was taken against his will. And later on, Rashi mentions that this case is that a person makes up the case where they make up some sort of money that he owes, or they create some sort of debt that he owes. It's all made up, and they take this goren in place of that. In that case, he's patur m'laser. Then he doesn't have to give maaser. But the obvious problem from the braisa is this chov. In one instance, in the first memra, we saw that a chov, if an eved's taken in place of the debt, then he does not go free. So it sounds like it's not his fault, meaning that we don't blame him when he's taken for the debt. And over here, right, where he's taken in the debt, we say he is chayav, meaning he's chayav and meiser, which means that we assume that he is problematic in that case. Now again, when we talk about chovo, this is not a case where he pledged him as directed collateral, meaning that before we saw that if he pledges him as collateral, he loses him as part of the knas. Here's a case where he's not pledging him as collateral, he owes money. And then when the Govi Kachamim comes to collect, he collects from the Eved. He wasn't something that the Jew pledged, but he just comes and decides that's what he wants to take for the collateral here. He wants to take for the loan. Now the Gemara wants to know, so how do we differentiate between these cases? The Gemara says, Shiny Hotam, by the case of the Chov, when it comes to the Goren, the Kamishtar Shele, he's getting a benefit. He's getting Hana from this in the fact that his loan is paid back. I mean, in the case by the Goren, he owed money. So now that he's not owing money anymore because they took his goren to replace it, instead of him paying the loan off, he paid with his goren. Since he got benefit from him, he's chayv meiser. I mean, it's his money. He paid back a loan with it. With that, he's got to pay maestros for it. So then you ask me, well, what about an eved? When the eved's paid back, how come that's also not considered his benefit? So Rashi points out over here, by an eved, the reason the eved goes free is because of knas. Right? It's a knas mishum mechira, because he sells it to the Ovid Kochavim. Vizelo machar midato. This person didn't sell it out of his own volition. Elish lolir tzono gavo. He took it against his will by my niknase. So there's no reason to place a knas on him. Right? So the whole point by an eved, the reason that we kones him is because we don't want him selling it to a non-Jew. Over here, he never pledged the eved to the non-Jew. The non-Jew just came and said, look, you owe me money, I'm taking this eved. Boom, it's gone. So in that case, there's no reason to place a knas on him because he didn't intentionally have this eved sold to an Ovid Kochavim or give it away to Ovid Kochavim. Whereas by the field, over here, he's repaying his loan. And by repaying the loan, there's hana. When there's hana there, then you got to give your maestros, your chumos and maestros over here. So again, did you get benefit when the eved was given? Yes. Did you do it intentionally? No, so there's no reason for knas. By maestros, it's different. If you have hana, that's enough or sufficient to be mechayiv you in maestros. That'll be the difference in the two cases here where he's repaying the debt. Or one where he's repaying the debt and he's not doing anything out of his own volition, there's no knas. But again, he still gets benefit, and by getting benefit, he'll be chayiv maestros. So now the Gemara asks, Gufa, on this statement of Rav, Amar Rav, Amocher Avdo, Tashma, I skipped the line here, Tashma, Damar Rav, Amocher Avdo, the Farhang. somebody who sold his eved to a farhang. Now, what is a farhang? Rashi says a farhang is somebody who's metzik v'sam alilot. Right? He's, I guess, an annoyance, and he makes up cases against people. Machlo b'dvayan frutaro she'alilav, and he pays him out for the amount of money that he claims that this Jew, something he did wrong, or whatever the false claim is that he's placing against the Jew, that's what a farhang is. So Tosfos disagrees with that and says that that doesn't make sense in the term farhang here because of the Gemara that continues. And Tosfos explains that a farhang is somebody who comes along and takes your eved against your will, but he pays for it. Right? So it's a case where they're ma'anes. They take your eved against your will. They create the sale against your will, but you still have to they pay you for it. So it's not that they're not paying you for it. So now, this case here, Rav says, in a case of mochav to the farhang, govi kochavim yatzal the cheirut, he goes free. So now the question is, why does he go free? Meaning that either according to Rashi's interpretation, when the whole thing's made up, or according to Tosfos' explanation, where he's taking it against his will, why is there a kanas over here? So that's what the Gemara answers up. Hatam havalei lefayes velo pies. He could have, meaning that the Ovid Kochavim took this person, or took this Eved, because the guy didn't bribe him, didn't pay him off some other way. So in this instance, had he paid him off, right, then he would not have taken the Eved. So the fact that he wasn't willing to stand up for the Eved and pay something else or give money instead of the Eved, so therefore there is a Knas here and he goes to the Cheirut. And the way Tosfos explains it maybe a little bit even more, that had he paid money, he probably could have gotten away with paying less. They took the Eved because the guy wasn't willing to pay anything. Had he paid a little less, he actually might have cost him less than giving away the Eved. So therefore we consider here his giving away of the Eved to be intentional and willing because he had alternatives. Since he didn't take those alternatives, he's Yatzal Cherut. We're Konis him in this instance. All right, so now Gufo. The Gemara is going to discuss this more deeply. Gufo. Amar Rava, Mocher Avdol the Farhang, Ovi Kochavim, Yatzal Cherut. So Ma'avile the Meivad, Avile the Fayes, Velo Vies. So now, Ba'i Rabbi Yirmiya, Machro the Shloshim Yom Mahu. If you sell your Eved to Ovi Kochavim for 30 days, what's the din? Meaning, because he'll return to you after 30 days. Meaning, are we Konis you for those 30 days that you sell him, or it only has to be a permanent sale? Tashma, Dama Rava, Mocher Avdol the Farhang, Ovi Kochavim Yatzal the Cheirut. Right, so over there, now the Gemara's original intent here, or thinks, the Sakatatka of the Gemara here, is that he comes back to you. This Farhang takes the Eved, makes him work for him for a little while, and then he hands it back to you. So Gemara thinks this is a proof that he's Yatzal the Cheirut. So Gemara says, no, Hatam a Farhang, Ovi Kochavim Sheno Choseret. This is a type of Farhang, when they take it from you, it's not coming back. I mean, it's a permanent sale, so we can't bring a proof from there. So now the Gemara has additional questions. Machro chutz mimelachto. What happens if he sells the Eved, right, but not for his work? Meaning that he sells him for his monetary value, but not to work for this other Ovid Kochavim. Chutz min mitzvot mahu. What happens if he sells him, but he says that he's allowed to work or do his mitzvot? Chutz mi shabbatot v'yomim tovim. Also, if it's excluding Shabbos and Yom Tov, what is the din? Lager toshav. What happens if he sells him to a ger toshav? A ger toshav is an Ovid Kochavim who does not worship Avodah Zarah, keeps the Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. L'Yisrael Mumar. Or he sells him to Yisrael Mumar. Mahu. L'Kuti Mahu. If he sells him to Kuti Mahu. So these are all series of questions the Gemara introduces without answering any of these items. So the Gemara says, Pashut Miochada. We can at least answer one of these questions, which is, Ger Toshav, Harihuka Ovid Kochavim. So that's one answer, is that a Ger Toshav has the same classification as Ovid Kochavim, and therefore if you sell him to a Ger Toshav, the Kanas should apply to you. And now, the Gemara says, when it comes to Kuti, Yisrael Mumar, there we have two Amri Lak, Ovid Kochavim, they're like non-Jews, but Amri Lak Yisrael, they have a status of Yisrael. And obviously, the Nafkamina, between which way you think, is whether selling this Eved will end you up with this Knas of going free. But in the end, the Gemara leaves all of these questions unresolved, but presents all of these questions. And now, Gemara moves on to a new sugya. Boi mine mirabi ami. So they ask the question, Rabbi Ami, Eved, shehi pilat smol gaisot. Person, Eved, throws himself to the gaisot, meaning basically he runs away and throws himself to the foreign armies that are there or the marauders that are there. Vein rabo yachol lehotzio. And his master cannot get this Eved Kanani back. Lo bedine Yisrael, velo bedine ovei kochavim. And that even if he goes through the Jewish channels or the non-Jewish channels, he's unable, through the rule of law, to get this Eved back. Mahu shitolet damav. Can he willingly accept the monetary value of his Eved? So meaning that since they're willing to pay for him, is his acceptance of the money then make it into a willing sale? and therefore there'll be a knas that the eved goes free? Or do we say, no, he can take the money because basically there's no way, he has no alternative here. He can't get this eved back. It's not within his purview, so let him get his money for the eved. So I'm going to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the Rabbi Zrika, poke ayin b'michilteich. Go out, Rabbi Yirmiyahu says to Rabbi Zrika, go out and check on your braitot, your mishnayot, instead what you've learned, and see if you can come up with any. Nafak dach v'ashkach, he went out and he found Titania. Someone who sells his house to a non-Jew, this is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, someone who sells his house to a non-Jew, the money that he gets for it is asur b'hana, and this is a knas, because lo techanim, lo titen lahem chaniya, you're not allowed to buy karka, you're not allowed to give non-Jews a hold on the karka of Eretz Yisrael, and by giving that, you violated the isur of lo techanim. By doing that, the chachamim said that your money then becomes asur. When you do such a thing, the compensation you receive for the house is asur. But if a non-Jew comes and forces the Jew out of his property, he's unable to, again, through the regular channels of law, whether Jewish channels or non-Jewish channels, he's unable to get his house back. He's allowed to get his money. He's allowed to take the monetary value of his house if they're willing to pay him. Vikotev, not only is he allowed to take his money, but Vikotev umaleber kototchilahem. He's even allowed to go to their courts and sign the document of sale in their courts, in non-Jewish courts, mnei shehukim matzil miadam. Because basically, it's for him, it's all basically, if he doesn't do this, he's going to lose everything. So at least if he can get his money, it's like he's saving some money. He's getting some money from them. That's worthwhile. So Rashi mentions over here, what's the problem of going erka ochilahem? Rashi says, afo pish chashivu to lahem. Even though he's giving them, meaning that he's making it seem like their court system and their system of law has some sort of tokef or is important in his eyes, nevertheless, we allow him to do it in order to get his money back. But it's like a meshiv aveda. Tosfos does not like Rashi's interpretation. He says, no, that what does it mean that you can go into erka ochilahem? Even though that he makes it into a sale, meaning that even though now he makes an official sale by going into their court system and he's almost endorsing what they did, nevertheless we allow him to endorse it because what's the alternative? If he doesn't endorse it, in both these instances, if he doesn't endorse it according to Tosus or according to Rashi, he doesn't afford them this chashivut, what's going to happen? That Eved's going to stay there anyway and he's just not going to get his money. So in all these instances when he does this, he's just benefiting by at least getting his money away from them. And that we allow him to do. So now, based on this, the Gemara wants to suggest what that based on what Rav Zrika found, that the same thing should be true with this Eved that ran away through himself, that you can take the money for this Eved because what's the alternative? Again, you have no other alternative, so you may as well get your money for this Eved Kanai, and that will not be considered like a willing sale. But the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, maybe we can differentiate between a Bayit and an Eved. V'dilma hani mili Bayit. Right, that maybe that's only true when it comes to a house. The cave into lo sagile below bayit, since a person can't live without a house, lo ati lizvune, he wouldn't sell it willingly. So we don't worry about setting up such a precedent because nobody sells a house willingly. Of course a person can live without an eved, right? A person doesn't need an eved to live. Ati lizvune, right? Then maybe he'll come to sell it, or maybe not. Meaning that there's a reason, or at least a reasonable svara to differentiate between bayit and eved about the people's willingness to sell a house versus people's willingness to sell an eved. So then, sholach lehu Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami sent back, that was the question who was posed to originally, was to Rabbi Ami. He sends back, minei Ami Barnotan Torah Yotza lechol Yisrael. Me, Ami Barnotan, Torah goes out from me to all of Klai Yisrael. I mean, this is my psak alocha, you can announce it. Eved, he pilats Mordechai Sot, an Eved that throws himself to the marauders, the non-Jews, ve'ein rabo yechodo tzio lo b'dinei Yisrael ve'lo b'dinei ovde chavim, mutar litol et damav. You're allowed to take the monetary value, and it's not considered a willing sale. Ve'kotev amale be'arkaot shel ovde kochavim. And again, the same thing like a bayit, you can go and sign it in their court systems. That's either according to Rashi, even though you're affording them chashivut, or according to Tosfos, because you're endorsing the sale. B'nei shukumat zil b'yadam. Again, in this instance, the alternative is just leaving them. Then they get the eved, or the house, and the money. And then here, at least you're getting your money back. At least there's some value to doing this, and we allow you to do that in order to get your money back. Okay, now, Gemara moves on to a new sugya. The new sugya is, what is this knas that we place on him? So I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Hamocher avdo the ovei kochavim, person who sells his eved to a non-Jew. Kontzinoto ad mea bidamav. Right, then we fine him to pay up to 100 times his value. What does that mean, 100 times his value? I mean that we force him to redeem him from the Ovid Chachavim up to 100 times his value. So the Gemara says, Dafka, Olav Dafka. When we say 100 times, that mean literally 100 times? Olav Dafka. Now the way Rashi reads Olav Dafka here means 100 times is just an exaggeration, but we make him redeem him for a lot of money, but not literally 100 times. Tosus reads it the other way. Tosus reads that Lav Dafka means not even beyond 100 times. Even if it's more than 100 times, we make him redeem him until whatever the value is that they want. So Tashma, well, I'll bring your proof. The Amar Reish Lakish HaMocher Behem Agasa Loved Kochavim, person who sells a, right, Behem Agasa, which is a large animal, to an Ovid Kochavim, basically an animal that's used for work. What's the Isur of selling a Behemagasa to an Ovid Chachamim? That was a Gezeiras Chachamim, not to sell it to non-Jews because of the problem of Shabbos. What was the problem on Shabbos when it comes to Behemagasa? Right, we are afraid that if we allow you to sell a Behemagasa to a non-Jew, that what will you also do? Right, you might also lend it to them or rent it to them, and then the animal which belongs to you will be worked on Shabbos. And since it'll be worked on Shabbos, it'll be your animal that's doing, right, work on Shabbos. So therefore we say, because we don't want Sheila and Schirut done with your animals, then the Chachamim, they made a Takana that you can't sell it to an Ovid Chachamim. So here this person violates that, Gezeiras Chachamim, Takanas Chachamim, and what does Reish Lakish say? Konsin Ota Ad Asara B'damel. The knas that you have to rebuy this animal back is up to 10 times its value. So now what you see from the Gemara is what? Now the Gemara is proposing that this is Lav Dafka. The 100 times is Lav Dafka, because the animal, we see it's only 10 times. So the Gemara says, V'dilma Shiny, Eved. Right? Maybe an Eved's different. Maybe an Eved's different than a Behema. Why? The Chol Yoma V'yoma Maskelebi Mitzvot. Because when you sell an Eved, every day that the Eved remains with the Ovid Kochavim, you're in violation of this problem. What's the problem? That you are Maskia him from the Mitzvot. You cause him not to be able to perform Mitzvot anymore. So every day presents a new Isser for you. Whereas by a Behema, there's only one Isser, which was the original sale. When you sold it the first time, you violated the Takanas Kochavim. And once you had that sale, that's done. You're done with the Isser. As opposed to the Eved, where the Easter continues. So maybe there should be a difference. Maybe a Behema should be 10 times, and an Eved should be 100 times. So now the Gemara presents it in a different way. The Igad Amri, there's some who say, Amri Bishul ben Levi Amocher Avdolovi Kochavim Kotzinoto Ad Asara B'damav. Someone who sells his Eved to a Ovi Kochavim, he has to redeem him up to 10 times his value. So the Gemara asks again, Dafka or Lav Dafka? I mean, does 10 times mean literally up to 10 times? Or Lav Dafka means even beyond 10 times? Whatever it takes to free him, you have to do it. So Tashma, we have a proof. Why? Damar Reish Lakish Amocher Behemagasa Lovi Kochavim. Some who sells a Behemagasa Tovi Kochavim Kotzinoto Ad Mea B'damea. You have to charge him 100 times its value of the Behema. You have to redeem it. So Gemara says, well, Shiny Eved, Lilo Hadrle. Well, maybe an Eved is different. Why? What's different about an Eved than a Behema? If you redeem the Behemagasa, what happens to the Behemagasa when you redeem him? He comes back to you. Now will own the animal. What happens if you redeem the Eved? What was the knas? Chachamim, when you sell your Eved to an Ovid Chachamim, he goes free. So after you redeem this Eved, you know what's going to happen when he comes back? He's going free. You're not going to get him back. So Gemara says, maybe you have to pay up to 100 times for the Behema because it's going to come back to you. Versus the Eved, if you redeem him, whatever you pay is going to waste because when he comes back, he's going free. It's all done. So Gemara says, wait a minute. If that's the whole reason behind it, about him coming back or not, El Behema, time am I, Mishum Dehadrele? So if the problem is that the Behema comes back to him, so then you should charge him more, right? Lekanse Tfeichad. Right? You should only make him pay one times more. So say, for instance, an Eved is 10 times his value is what you should pay. How much did you pay for a Behema when you come back? 11 times. What's the benefit? What's the benefit of a Behema versus an Eved? Behema is that you get to keep the Behema. So how much extra value do you get by the Behema coming back to you versus the Eved not coming back to you? One times its value, right? Because now you won't have to buy a new Behema. So if it was 10 times for an Eved, you should just charge 11 times for a Behema. Why does the Reisa say 100 times? Or why does Reish Lakish say 100 times? So obviously that can't be the reason. Ella, Eved Milsa de lo Shchicha. Now, the difference is that by Behemoth it's 100 times because that's a common practice. That's something that happens frequently. But Eved, it's not so common that people will sell an Eved to a Ovid Chachavim. So when it came to something that's Lo Shechiach, the Rabbanan didn't impose these large fines on it, and therefore it was 10 times. So in each of these two Lashonot, the Gemara gives different reasons, either one, why an Eved should be more Chamor, because there he's Mafkia Midei Mitzvos, and the Isser persists each day. Or the other side, we said, was a reason to be Mekil by an Eved, is because it's a Milsa Delo Shchicha, and therefore it's only 10 times, not 100 times. Again, the Gemara leaves this inconclusive. The Gemara has no decision in either direction. Now, I agree with you. I don't think it's so simple. I don't think it's so easy to understand what they mean by milsa do shchicha and not gozer here. They were gozer, and 10 times is a value. I think all the Gemara is saying is that there's a reason to differentiate. I don't know if they're saying milsa do shchicha and there's no gzeira at all, but at least there's a reason not to say that they went out of their way to make it extreme, to make sure that that you didn't have to create a large dissuasion. Meaning that when you're, sometimes the common place, a large knas is to dissuade you from acting in this way. So when it comes to a behemoth, which is a common practice, right, they had to put a large sum as the knas in order to dissuade you. When it came to an eved, which is lo shchiach, they didn't have to impose such a large knas because it wasn't something frequent, and they don't have to lay out dissuasion to stop you from doing it. So I think that's how you have to read it. Not like the classic, like what you're saying, Shaul. Not a classic milsa do shchicha lo gozer, but it means that they didn't make any gzeir at all, but just means that they had to have less disincentive placed in here. Okay, so now, the next case, which is an interesting question. Right, over here we say there's a knas. When a person sells his eved, right, there is a knas. We know, number one, the knas is that the eved goes free. Number two is that we force him to redeem it. Now, does this knas persist beyond the owner's life? Right, then we have that when there is a knas chachamim, whenever there's some imposed knas on an individual, you always have the question, does the knas, right, live beyond the life of the person who we're being kones? I mean, if we're kones him, does this apply to his Yerusha, to his Yorshim? Right, yes or no? So that's what the Gemara is going to ask here. Ba'amine Rabbi Yirmi, Ami Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Yirmi asks Rabbi Asi, Machar Abdo Meit, sells his Eved, and then he dies. Mahu, she comes with Beno Acharav. Right, do we force his children to go and redeem this Eved Kanani? So the Gemara presents it as a Imtim Salomar. The Gemara is going to bring other cases of Knas. So one case of Knas is found in the Gemara in Bechoros, which is what? Sorim Ozen Bechor. This is a person who puts a mum into a Bechor. Now, Bechor, right, has to be brought, Bechor Tam has to be brought onto the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim, and then eaten, right, as a korban, as it's brought at a korban Bechor, then it's eaten in Yerushalayim as the dinim of a korban. Whereas if a Bechor gets a mum in it, then it belongs, it's the money of the Kohen. It goes to the Kohen and he gets to keep it. So there was a large incentive for Kohanim to put mumim into Bechorot, because then they didn't have to go up to Yerushalayim, number one. Number two is they got to keep the whole thing. It just basically became theirs when there's a mum in the Bechor. So someone who goes and intentionally puts a mum into the ozen of a Bechor, into the ear of a Bechor, in order that what? That it would be now either redeemable or it can become the money of the Kohen. Umeit. And then he dies. Kansu b'no acharav. There, they were Kones' children, and the behemoth remains asur. Meaning that this term ozen, then it becomes asur olamit, right? Osur fi olam. So too, that applies to his children also, that they may not get benefit from this animal. Why did they say that there? Mishum di isura doraita hi. Because there they violated an isur doraita. What does that mean? It violated an isur doraita, which is that you're not allowed to put a mum into a bechor. Right? So since they violated the isur midoraita of ko mum lo yebo, that you're not allowed to place a mum into kodshim. So since they violated an isur doraita, we say not only is he charged with the knas, but even his children are charged with the knas. In our instance over here by Eved, v'hocha, that's the isura derabanan, the knas here that the Eved goes free, or the requirement that we have to redeem him, is only a rabbinic ordinance. And since it's only a rabbinic ordinance, maybe it only applies to him and not to his children. So now the Gemara brings... Okay, so that's the next side of the Gemara. Tosos brings, truthfully, if you look, I didn't spend time, but Tosos basically says the question could be asked the other way, which is, if you look in Tosos, I didn't read it, but now that you're asking the question, we can look at it, Joel. If you look at this last Tosos on the page, Hatam Yisur Doraiso, so he says, Gabi Tzorim Ozen Abachor Kamar, Deleka Lemisha Mehocha. We can't learn out of Eved, why? The Shani Eved, the Mafkelevi Mitzvot. Because an Eved has a Chumrah, which is that he's mafkia him from the mitzvot. So Tosa says, if that's the case, they could have formulated the question the other way. They could have said, well, just because a Bechor, right, has a Isser D'oraisa, maybe that's not enough. If you say a Bechor doesn't go to his child. Maybe an Eved should be a Knas to his child because he's Mafkia Midei Mitzvos. So Tutosus recognizes that, and Rashi himself also mentions that the question could be asked the other way. If you say by a Bechor that it doesn't go to his child, right, then either certainly by an Eved because it's an Issur Derabanan, or maybe not by an Eved because he's Mafkia Midei Mitzvos. So the Tosus presents that there is another tzad, like you're suggesting, Shaul. Okay, now the next case in the Gemara is there's another instance where we have a knas whether it passes down to a child, and that's the next on top of Mem Dalet Amud Bet. So Imtim Salomar Kivei Melachto B'Moed, a person who goes out of his way to ensure that he has to do work on Chol HaMoed. When are you allowed to do work on Chol HaMoed? That's when it's a Davar HaAved, right? Something that's going to be lost, cause a large loss of money. Then we allow you to do it on Moed. So well, you know what this guy does? Erev Yontif, he begins some sort of process or some sort of work, so that by definition he's going to run into a Davar HaAved on Chol HaMoed. He sets up the case so that he forces himself into a Davar HaAved on Chol HaMoed, and by doing that, what is he forced to do? He's forced to work on Chol HaMoed. So it's called Kivei Melachto B'Moed. Someone who intentionally sets it up so that he will have to work on Chol HaMoed. Umeit, then he dies. Lo kantsu b'no acharav. They did not put a knas on his child after him. Mishum d'lo avad isura. Because what? He didn't do the isur. Who didn't do the isur? The child. Right? The child never did anything that was wrong. It was his father who was Mekavi Melachto B'Moed. This child just shows up and all of a sudden he has a field that's going to go down the drain. If he doesn't do anything, there we let the child take care of the field. So now, so hachamai, in our case, right, what's the din? Lidide kansu rabbanon. The knas is on him, midi rabbanon, v'halete, and he's not around anymore. Udilma limamone kansu rabbanon. Not that they placed the knas on the individual, but they placed it on his money. I mean that we put his money on the line to redeem this eved. And guess where his money is right now? V'haite. His money is with his yorshim. So we don't know which it is. We have a brace that teaches us what you have to do in this instance. And this is another instance by Shvis. What happens by Shvit? Sode shenitkavtza b'shvit. A sode that was cleared up on Shvit. What does it mean it was cleared up? Shenitkavtza means that you removed, as Rashi says, that you took out the kotzim, took out the thorns from the field during Shvit. So you did avodat karka during the Shvit. Rashi says this is only avodat karka that's not in a Torah, it's only an Isur midirabbanan. And Tosfos points out from the Rach that this must be when you're talking about kotzim that are tlushim, that are already not, they're not attached to the ground. Because if you're actually weeding out of the ground, mechuberim, that would be an issur d'oraisa. But over here we're talking about, so he did something that cleared the field on Shvit. So by doing that, he violated an issur d'rabbanan on Shvit. There, they were not gozer, that tizra l'motzei Shvit. He may plant it on the eighth year. We don't gozer. But, nitaiva o nidaira. Rashi claims, this is what Rashi claims, that nitaiva means that nizdavla, he fertilized the field. Rashi says he brought large buckets of fertilizer and spread it out on the field. Onidaira is where he made a corral for animals in his field in order that they should fertilize the field. Then, lotizra the Motzei Shvit. Then he may not, right, plant it on Motzei Shvit. The implication from Rashi is, why can't he plant it on Motzei Shvit? Is because now he violated an Isur d'oraisa. I mean, as opposed to Nitkavtza, which is an Isur d'rabbanan, over here where he violated an Isur d'oraita, right, then he can't plant it on Motzei Shvit. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. He says, guess what? Nizdavlo is only an Isur d'rabbanan. So what's Rashi talking about here? It's a Nizdavlo. So Nitaiva, which Rashi claims is Nizdavla, is only an Isur d'rabbanan. So Tosfos claims, according to the Rach, that Nitaiva means that he plowed the field, an extra plowing during the Shvit, right, which is then definitely an Isur d'oraita to plow a field during the race, which is actually, turns out, I'm not going to say it. That happens to be a machlokas rishonim, whether Harisha is an Isur min haTorah or not, whether Harisha is one of the melachot of Shvi'it, but according to Tosfos, at least here, he believes clearly that Harisha is midoraisa, and therefore plowing on Shvi'it, he did an Isur d'oraita. Now, with regards to Nidaira, he agrees with Rashi's interpretation. It says, even though it's midorabonon, says the Rabbeinu Tam says that by Shvius they were machmir. Why? Because people were mezalzel in Shvius. We see this all over Shas, that people were mezalzel in Shvius, and therefore there was a reason to be machmir legabe Shvius, that it should be also the Motzei Shvius. So here, when there's anything that was close or looks like even a Dorais or a Melechasa Karka, there they asserted it even on Motzei Shvius, and I assume you can answer that for Rashi when it comes to Nitaiva or Nizdavla. Now, on this bright, so we said, V'amar Rav Yosi Barbechanin and Akhtinan, Heitiva v'umeit. If he performed, according to Rashi, this Nizdavlo, or according to Tosfos, that he plowed it an extra time, and then dies, right, then B'no Zora. We're not Kones his child. Alma, so we see from this, the Didei Kansu Rabbanon, the Vrei Lo Kansu Rabbanon. right? There we see that they were konis the individual and not the child. So Amar Abaye also says naktinan. We also have a din timei taharot shel chevero, someone who's mitame something that belonged to his friend, taharot that belonged to his friends. So what type of case is this? Somebody has truma or someone has something that needed to be tahor, and by mitame it you caused them a loss. So this is what we call chezek she'eno nikar, right? This is damage that cannot be visibly seen because you are affecting his right produce, or you're affecting his tarot without there being any physical damage to the tarot. So in this case, the chachamim were gozer, or made a takana knas that you must pay. Hezek she'eno nikar, you must pay for that damage. So umet, but then he dies. Lo kansu rabbanan b'no acharav. Right? We're not konis his child after him. My taima. Hezek she'eno nikar lo shmei hezek. In general, when there's hezek that's not visible, physical change to the item, then there's no hezek. V'kansa rabbanan he, right? And it's only a knas de rabbanan that he has to pay for the damage. L'didei kansu rabbanan livrei lo kansu rabbanan. Again, they were konis him and not his child. So from this, again, the Gemara wants to prove that we see in all these times that the Torah, that the rabbanan were konis, they were only kones him and not his child afterwards, and so they should have the same dinner, the same application when it comes to an evet. So again, if he sells his evet and then he dies, we're not going to force his children to redeem the evet because the knas is on the individual who sold it and not right on the child afterwards, as we see by Timei Taharos, we see that by Shvius, and these other instances where they did not affect his child after him. All right, so now the Gemara deals with chutzlarts. We said, right now, until now, we've dealt with selling the Eved to a non-Jew, to an Ovid Kochavim. In that instance, there was a knas that he goes free. What was the other knas? When he sells him the chutzlarts, if he sells him to leave Eretz Yisrael, there's also a knas that he goes free. So now the Gemara is going to deal with that. Tan Rabbanan. Hamocher Abdo the chutzlarts. Someone who sells his Eved to go out of Eretz Yisrael, yatsa the cherut. He goes free. V'tzarech get shirchur mirabo sheni. And he needs to get shirchur from his new owner. There are times that he goes free and times where he doesn't go free. Kate said, what's the case? Amar ploni abdi mechartiu the ploni antochi lo yatsa. He says, I sold my evid to this guy who was an antochi, right? Then he doesn't go out free. L'antochi shiba antochia. If he sells him to antochi who lived in antochia, yatsa, he goes free. So what's the assumption? The assumption is that even if I sold him to an antochi, that just means where he was born. He's antochi because he's born antochi, but it sounds like he lives in Eretz Yisrael now. So if I sell him to him just because he came from antochi, doesn't mean he's going back there. It means that he lives in Eretz Yisrael now, so there he won't go free. But if I sell him to this antochi who lives in Antochia, then it's clear he's going back with this Eved, and then the Eved will go free. So now Gemara says, V'hatanya, don't we have a brisa that says, Machartil antochi yatsa? If you sell him to an antochi, he goes free. Latantochi Ashori Balud, to Antochi who lives in Lod, which is inside of Eretz Yisrael, considered Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yatsa, he doesn't go free. So now we have a stira between these two brightot. One brightot says when you stam sell him to Antochi, it's good, and he doesn't go free. The other one who says when you sell him to Antochi, the stam assumption is that he's going back to Antochia, and then he doesn't go free. Gemara says, Lokasha. The difference between these two people is had Islay Beta Beretz Yisrael, but had Islay Shpiza Beretz Yisrael. What's this Antochi doing in Israel? If this Antochi is in Israel because he owns a house in Israel, then the Eved doesn't go free because the assumption is that the Antochi is going to stay in Eretz Yisrael. If he's going to stay in Eretz Yisrael, then we don't worry about you selling it to him. Problem is, if he only lives by a guest house, if he's only living in a hotel in Eretz Yisrael and you sell him to this Antochi, you can bet your money that this guy is going back to Antochia. If that's the case, he will go free. So again, the circumstances of the sale will determine whether he's yatsa l'cherut or not, which is, what's the likely probability or likely scenario that this person is going back to chutz la'aretz? And if there is a likely scenario that he's going back, right, the evidence is that he's going back, then he will go free. If there's a good reason to believe that he'll stay in Eretz Yisrael, the person you're selling it to, then he will not go free. Rabbi Yirmiyah, this is a great question. Ben Bavel is a guy who comes from Bavel. He marries a woman from Eretz Yisrael. And this woman, she comes along, you know, with her servants and her maidservants. And now, guess where they're going? And he's going back to Bavel. I mean, he marries the woman. The woman knows that when she's marrying him, she's going to move to Bavel with this guy. What's the status of these avadim and shvachot? Right? We know that a bow, the gabay, the possessions of his wife, is considered a lokeach, like a buyer. So now when she comes and marries him, it's as if she's selling her vadim and shvachot to him. If that's the case, is this like selling them into chutzlaretz and they should go free? Mahu, what's the din? So the Gemara says, Tibai Laman Damar Hadin Ima, Tibai Laman Damar Hadin Imo. So what's Hadin Ima and Hadin Imo? This is a case where in the beginning of a marriage, right, there are different types of possessions a woman can bring into marriage. One is Nichse Malog, and one is Nichse Tzonu Barzel. So here we're talking about the Nichse Tzonu Barzel. By Nichse Tzonu Barzel, what's the din? He brings in the property or the possessions, and we assess the value of those possessions when they come in. And then when she leaves, she gets that value that they were assessed in the ksuba. He's on the hook for that value. It comes to the end of the marriage. They're dissolving the marriage, whatever, for whatever reason. Say gerushin, they're dissolving the marriage. When he goes to pay her back, the mere fact that we assess the value to these items when she brought them into the marriage, can he say, I'm paying you the money, and I'm keeping the possessions? I mean, the fact that we assigned the value to them means that all you cared about was the monetary value of them. And therefore, I can determine whether I pay you the money or I pay you the actual object. So that means a dinimo. Or do we say a dinima, which is what? These are shevach besavia. These are family heirlooms. This is part of her family's possessions. So she gets to make the determination whether she gets those objects back or he has to pay her in monetary terms. So now the Gemara says it's a question. No matter which position you take, this will be a question here. Why? Right, it'll be a question according to one who says that she gets to determine whether she gets the possessions back or she gets the monetary value. Right, came into adinima kidida damu. Since the din is with her, it's like they're her possessions. And if they're her possessions, what does that mean? That they were never sold to him. If they're never sold to him, then right, they're not going to the chutzlart. O dilma came into mishabdele lepeiro. But since what they are tzonu bazel when she brings them to marriage, since their peiro, their output or their production belongs to the husband, kidida damu, they become like his. If they're his, then she's just transacted and sold them to someone going the chutzlaritz. And it'll be a question for the one who says adinimo. What's adinimo? Means that he gets to determine whether he pays in cash or he gives back the possessions. Do we say because he gets to choose, they become like his possessions? If that's the case, she sold them to him and she's selling them into chutzlaritz, she go free. Oh. Tilma came into lo kani le legufe kedida damu, or maybe because he doesn't get real possession over them, the only thing he gets from them is their output or their production. He doesn't actually get the physical objects. He can't, you know, sell the objects out from under her. Therefore, they still remain in her possession. If they remain in her possession, then what? They never were sold. If they're never sold, there's no knas chachamim here. Gemara leaves it as a teiku. We don't know. In this type of setup, whether there is really a quote-unquote sale here. If there is a sale, then they would go free, but we're not sure if there really is a sale. Do they remain in her possession, or do they really go into his possession? That Gemara leaves as a teiku. Okay, so that has to do with the Mishnah and Ksubos. If you remember, the Mishnah and Ksubos says, Hakol olim la'aretz, ve'en hakol yotzim l'chutz la'aretz, that a woman can demand a divorce from her husband if he tries to take her to chutz la'aretz, and an Evan could demand his freedom if you try to take him to chutz la'aretz. So there is a mission that supports that position. We're going to see it in a second, actually, in the Gemara here. The Gemara is going to deal with that, which is that an Evan and a woman have the right to reject their quote-unquote owner, their Baal, their husband, or their owner taking them out of Eretz Yisrael, because they're going to take them away from the mitzvot to tluyot baretz. So they have said... The difference will be that if you sell them, right, then the knas goes into effect automatically, which means that they're yatzah l'cheirut. As soon as you do the sale, you bumped into the knas chacham and they go free. But when you take them into chutz la'aretz, the eved or the shifcha must object to going in order to go free. If they don't object, then they're considered to acquiesce to leaving to chutz la'aretz, and then they have no rights to go free. So the question is, do they need to actually actively object, or does it automatically happen as a knas chachamim when they leave to chutz la'aretz? It's going to be the next Gemara. You'll see it in a second. All right? So Amar Rabbi Yubo. So Rabbi Yubo says, Shana li Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan told me, Eved shiyatza achar Rabbo l'Suria. An Eved that follows his master to Suria. Now Suria for Lagabe Avadim, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, is considered chutz la'aretz. So he followed his master into chutz la'aretz to Suria. Umachrosham Rabbo. And then his master over there sells him to go into chutz la'aretz. Yatza l'cheirut. He goes free. Vahatani Rabbi Chia. Don't we have a brisa from Chia that says, Ibeid et zchuto? No, once he went out to Suria, the Eved lost out his ability to get that knas imposed. So what do you see here? So there's a stira here. When he goes out to Surya, this Eved, is he considered already going out to Chutzlarts, and therefore he acquiesced to leave the land? And once he acquiesces to leave the land, he can't make an objection when he's sold to someone in Chutzlarts, because he's already in Chutzlarts, or not. So what does Gemara says? What does that depend on? Lokasha. Kansha dato rabo lachzor. Kansha in dato rabo lachzor. Depends. When he went out with his master to Surya, if his master's intention was to return to Eretz Yisrael, then the Eved never gave up his right to object to leaving Eretz Yisrael, because he really thought he was going back to Eretz Yisrael. Then when his master then sells him out to Chutzlaritz, and now he's not going to return for sure, then the Knas is still in effect, and he'll go to Cherut. As opposed, if the owner's intention was never to return to Eretz Yisrael, and he was going out to Surya, and the Eved does not object in that case, then the Eved is as if he's acquiesced to leaving Eretz Yisrael. Once he acquiesces to leave Eretz Yisrael, and then the Rav sells him to leave him in Eretz Yisrael, nothing's changed. He agreed to go to Eretz Yisrael, and now he's continuing to remain in Eretz Yisrael. There the Eved does not have a right, and therefore the Knas will not go into effect. All right, so that was what you were asking about, but this is the case in the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, V'hatanyo, and this is B'nichusa, right, there's a brisa, Yotze Eved Achara Bolasuria. Right, that an Eved can go after his Rav, goes after his Rav Lasuria. So Gemara stops the Bryce in the middle and says, Yotze, right? What do you mean, Yotze, that he must go out with his Rav? Osagi de lo nafik? I mean, maybe he doesn't want to go. What does it mean, Yotze, he must go after his master? Vahatznan. Don't we have a Mishnah from Ksubos that says what? Eina komotzim, that you're not allowed to force anybody to leave Eretz Yisrael, including an Eved. A master can't force his Eved to go out. Ella, so you have to amend this Bryce to read, Yatza ha Eved achar rabo. If an Eved willingly followed his master, the Surya, umachro rabo sham, and then his master there sells him to remain in Chutzlarts, imdat rabo lachzor, if when the master left his intention was to return there to Yisrael, kofinoto, right, then we force him, meaning that we force him to free the Eved because he did something that the Eved thought he was going back there to Yisrael, and now he's selling him the Chutzlarts permanently, and that's a problem. Vimeindat rabo lachzor, if it wasn't the intention of the master to return, then the Eved willingly left Eretz Yisrael, and once he leaves, willingly leaves Eretz Yisrael, in Kofinoto. We're not going to force a Knas on the Adon for selling him into Chutzlaritz if already he's in Chutzlaritz already. So there we see, that's a support to the way we solve the Stira and the Breitot. So Amar Rav Anan, Shemait Mina, I heard the Mar Shmuel Tarte. I heard two things from Mar Shmuel. Chadahach, one of them is this that we just discussed over here. V'idach, and this is the other thing I heard from Mar Shmuel, the Itmar. Hamocher Sardeo B'Shnat HaYovel. Someone who sells his field during the Yovel itself, Atzma, Rav Omar Mechura V'yotza. Rav says the sale goes into effect, and right after he sells it, the field comes right back to him. What happens on the Yovel? Yovel says that any field that is sold until the point of the Yovel goes back to the original owner. So what happens if you sell on the Yovel itself? So Rav says, well, the sale goes through, and then it automatically reverts back to the owner. Ushmol Omar Eina Mechura Kolikar. Shmuel says that the sale fails. All right, so now, B'chada Hadre Zvine. Shmuel said the loch is, in one of these instances, you get the money back. Ufechada lo hadre zvine. In the other instance, right, the money does not come back to you. So what's the case? So the two cases are, one case is where you sell a field during the Yovel. The other case is where you sell an Eved to another Jew in Chutzlaritz. And you know what happens to that Eved? When you sell him to a Jew in Chutzlaritz, he goes free. So now, do you have to give the money back to the person you sold it to Eretz Yisrael because he ends up without an Eved? Or, again, do you have to give the money back to the person who you sold the field during the Yovel? Lo yadana haminayu. I don't know which one Shmuel says you must give the money back to. All right, so now Rashi points out here, if you don't have to give the money back, right, then how is Shmuel and Rav different? What did Rav say? Rav says the sale goes through and you get the field back. So basically your money goes to the person who sold you the field keeps the money, right? And then the buyer loses the field. So if Shmuel says the money doesn't go back to you, then you have the exact same thing. The field stays with you and you get to keep the money. So how are Rav and Shmuel different in that case? So Rashi points out the difference is whether there was a sale. Why does it make a difference if there's a sale? Because we know by kinyanim, if you sell property, you can do a kinyan agav. That means that when you sell the real property, you can also add on metaltalin. On top of that, the sale will go through. So according to Rav, those metaltalin would be niknate, would work because the sale for the land worked. So through the sale of the metaltalin will work. According to Shmuel, the money is given to you as a gift, but the sale never went through. If the sale never went through, then the kinyan on the metaltalin never took effect. If that's the case, then you didn't sell the metaltalin, and you can reverse that sale. All right, but now, which one is the one? So Amar Rav Yosef, Nechse Anan. Let us try to solve the problem. Midatani bebraisa, we have a braisa. Amocher avdo lechutz la'aretz. Someone who sells his avid to chutz la'aretz yatzal lecherut goes free. V'tzarach get shechur mirabo sheni. He requires a get shechur from who? From his second owner, from the Jew that bought him in chutz la'aretz. Shmamina kanye rabo sheni. We see that his second master actually acquired him. V'lo hadrei zvine. And therefore the money doesn't go back. The fact that he actually took possession of him, the second master takes possession, shows you that the sale went through. If the sale went through, then the money doesn't go back. So that means, in the case of Yovel, when he says Eina Mechura Umalt Chuzrim, that shows you that he meant that you give the money back, because there's no sale, and means the money goes back. So now the Gemara says, Rav Anan Breita Lo Shmiale. Right? So then, right, Rav Anan never heard of this Breisa. Had he known about this Breisa, he would have been able to solve the problem about it. V'imi Shmuel. Well, let's try to figure out. The Gemara says, why don't you figure out from what Shmuel said himself? Mimai De Eina Mechura. Right, the fact that Shmuel says Eina Mechura means there's no sale sounds like what? If there's no sale, the money should have gone back. So why don't we solve it from that? Gemara says no Umalt Chozrim. So Gemara says no. Dilma Eina Mechura Umalt Matana Ninhu. No, maybe it's a case where what? It's sold, but the money we consider it a gift. Why? Because we have a case like this. Mida Hava Mekadesh Et Achoto. Somebody tries to establish kiddushin with their sister. Ditmar, Hamakadesh et Achoto, one who tries to marry his sister, Rav Amar Mot Chozrim, Rav says the money comes back to you, whereas Shmuel Amar Ma'ot Matana, the money is a gift, and the money stays. Even though there's no Kiddushin with Achoto, the money stays there. So Amar Le'abai, the Rav Yosef, Mai Chazit, the Kansinan Lokeach, Nexnesei Le'mocher. Why are you punishing the buyer over here and not the seller? I mean, that who has to set him free? In the end, who's setting him free? The second Rav, his second owner. And who loses out the money? The second owner, the buyer, not only sets him free and loses the money. How come the seller doesn't lose out here? Why is the knas imposed on the buyer and not the seller? Zarmalei, lav achbara ganav? Right, elachora ganav. It's not like when you have a mouse that goes and takes food, the mouse doesn't steal the food. It's because he can go into the hole to hide. That's what's stealing the food. So Zarmalei, lav achbara chora menole. Right, how can the hole get the food in there if it wasn't for the achbar bringing it there? So the Gemara says, Mistavra hecha de iki isura hotam kansinan. So the Gemara says, no, in the end, why are we konis the mocher, the lokeach, the buyer, and not the seller? It's because where is the isur of right now? Where is the evid found? The evid is found with the buyer, and that's where the knas applies. So the Gemara says, you look for where the isur is, the current isur is with the buyer, and that's where the knas is going to apply. That's why we apply it to the lokeach. In the case where he sells him to an ovi kachavim, you can't say the isur is with the ovi kachavim, because that doesn't have application. So therefore, we're konis to the seller, right over there, because he goes yatzal lecherut, because he's the only one we can be kones. But over here, where there's another Jew on the other end who's buying, and the isur is now resides with him, he has this eved in chutz la'aretz, and it resides with him. That's where we're kones the isur, and therefore we force him to give it up, and he loses his money by buying this eved. Okay, we'll stop over here.